I've entitled my message, Honey in the Rock. And I'm going to look at Psalm 81 primarily. But as I thought of what Craig shared and how we had planned this and that he was going to share this scripture, and we got it all together and we printed it out and he said his part and now I'm going to try to do my part. You know, that's not how we did. But isn't it amazing how the Spirit works? And what a blessing to just, and it happens all the time. And I'm never going to try to lose the awe of that. Because that is the essence of spiritual life. This morning as I was slowly, groggily trying to wake up, I don't know if I was half dreaming or whatever, but I heard a little phrase that says, I'm praying for you. And I don't know what dreams mean, but I'll tell you something. Someone was praying, and I know this, that Jesus is praying for me. He's praying for you. And that is something that should bless us. We just came through Thanksgiving. We had our feasts, probably. And we ate our turkey. I mean, that's the thing you do. And hopefully we did thank God for the blessings that we do have. We could focus on the bad things that happen in our life, because there are bad things that happen in life all around us. We live in, I think this morning, I'd like for us to just focus on this, is that life is a desert. That sounds depressing, doesn't it? And I want it to sound a little depressing, but I want to end up with the whole thing of there's hope. We're not left out in the desert just to die. And even this morning, as Craig was sharing, I thought, isn't it amazing how that there were two men who were like, and the first verse where Caleb says, you know, I think we can take this. And I don't know what the response was, but I can, I'm sure the other 10, whatever, said, who is this guy? But isn't that how it is with us sometimes? It's like we are persuaded by, or we're influenced by the negativity of life way too much. And then the second time, they got serious, right? They tore their clothes. I've never done that, but... And they tore their clothes and they made a statement, right? It's like, and I don't know how many of you thought of the song, Give Me This Mountain, that I learned way back in the 1900s. But isn't that what we should be doing, is saying, God, not by my power, not by my might, but because of the fact that you are with us. And notice the verse that said, they will be like bread for us. It'll be like a sandwich. The blessings of the land of Canaan. And we're going to kind of go back and pretend that we are in the desert this morning. We have it pretty nice. We have fans going, and we have shoes and socks on, and we don't have grit in our toes, I don't think. Most of us probably showered and had a nice cup of coffee, and we have it pretty nice. But we're living in the desert. And one of the things I'd like for us to just think about as we read this psalm is the place that this happened. And in some ways, this is kind of a... I don't know, in some ways it's kind of a depressing psalm, because it really gives a picture of what might have been had the children of Israel listened. So we'll take a look at this Psalm 81, verses 1 to 16. I'm going to be reading from the English Standard Version. Verse 1, sing aloud to God our strength. Shout for joy to the God of Jacob. Raise a song. Sound the tambourine, the sweet lyre with the harp. Blow the trumpet at the new moon, at the full moon on our feast day. For it is a statute for Israel, a rule of the God of Jacob. We don't have a commandment as such to come and worship, do we? Is there such a thing as worshiping on cue? Does that make sense? We are called to worship God, right? This is a commandment that God gave to Israel. And I think in some ways we are still commanded to praise God. And I'm talking about praising God corporately. And I know that there are a lot of people who can't be here this morning. But I hope that we don't neglect that thing of not gathering. Because really our human flesh can really fall into that groove, so to speak, that rut. It's kind of nice to just have church in, like Sam said, in our PJs, maybe, I don't know. But it's like we are called, this is a call to worship. And I think it's important for us. It's important for us to, the benefits of it, I think we sometimes, we probably don't realize what a blessing it is to be together as brothers and sisters in Christ and worshiping together. And I also want to just say thanks to the youth for leading us in that last Saturday or last Sunday night. Just the whole thing of the attitude of gratitude. And verse 5, he made it a decree in Joseph when he went over the land of Egypt. I hear a language I had not known. I relieved your shoulder of the burden. Your hands were freed from the basket. In distress you called and I delivered you. I answered you in the secret place of thunder. I tested you at the waters of Meribah, Selah. Hear, O my people, while I admonish you, O Israel, if you would but listen to me, notice that verse especially, if you would but listen to me, there shall be no strange god among you. You shall not bow down to a foreign god. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt. Open your mouth wide and I will fill it. But my people did not listen to my voice. Israel would not submit to me. So I gave them over to their stubborn hearts, to follow their own counsels. Oh, that my people would listen to me, that Israel would walk in my ways. I would soon subdue their enemies and turn my hand against their foes. Those who hate the Lord would cringe toward him, and their fate would be lost forever. But he would feed with you with the finest of the wheat, and with honey from the rock I would satisfy you. I don't know about you, but that's an amazing picture of what Jesus, what God wants to do for us. There's an if in there. Remember that. It's not an automatic thing. But God made a way for us. And there's four things I'd like to look at in this scripture. I already alluded to the fact that in this psalm, in verses 1 to probably 4, there was a call to worship, a command to worship. Worship for us as God's people should come spontaneously. But it doesn't always, does it? Sometimes in some ways we are almost forced to come to church. And we may say, well, if we feel that way, then we're being hypocrites if we come. But I don't know if that's really the case. I think if we follow, in some ways, we come to church. I mean, it should be better than that. I'm going to excuse you but it happens to us. It happens to all of us. There are periods in our life when we really don't feel that connectedness to God. And yet we are, in some ways, commanded to worship. What ministers to my heart and to your heart more than singing in adoration to God that can move us, maybe much more than even the reading of the word and a sermon? But just the part of being here, the part of being a vessel in this service, it's not so much any one person, but it's the Holy Spirit that works through every part of the service. But let's look at this particular psalm. The setting is the wilderness. And they spent, like Steve alluded to, if they would have just decided, okay, hey, let's go do this, they would have forfeited the 40 years in the wilderness, right? One of the things that I think the Bible teaches us is that it teaches us to enter in. You must enter in. And what I mean by that is you must listen. You must do that personally. You must enter in. In other words, you must choose to enter into the promised land. What happens in our lives on this earth is that we begin to get comfortable with the things that we live with here on this earth. But let's remember this, that life is a wilderness. It's a desert. In the Bible times, the wilderness was the desert. There was not mountains and woods and whatever. And there were no big figs and grapes, as was mentioned in Numbers. In the desert, there is nothing in the desert that sustains life. I want you to get a hold of that. There is nothing in the desert that sustains life. You can't eat sand and get a whole lot of nourishment from it, right? The only way the Israelites survived was because of the miraculous intervention of God. The only way that Israel survived was because of the miraculous intervention of God. A million people, or however many millions of people in the desert, wandering around, grumpy. Wow, what a picture. And spiritually speaking, we cannot survive in this world by just the world. There is nothing in this world that can help us survive by the world in and of itself. We know that, I think. But yet, we often, like I said, we get comfortable with things. We kind of like our life. We kind of like, we wouldn't say, our own gods. That's kind of going far. But in some ways, that's what it is. And we'll touch on that a little bit later. But the things of this world, they don't satisfy us. They dry up. And everything in this world deteriorates. And I know I've talked about this before. You can buy a new vehicle, and wow, there's just something about that new car smell, right? And every situation in our life, and we are all in different places in this, but there are periods in our life where we sometimes say this, it'd be just kind of nice to just, as grandparents sometimes just say, it'd be kind of nice if the children would just stay small and innocent like that. Wouldn't that be neat? But we know that doesn't happen, right? And sometimes we make changes like, I'm really kind of enjoying where I'm at, my stage in life. I think that's okay. But I think it's important for us to remember that that the world we live in is falling apart. One example is we had a good meal probably on Thanksgiving Day. Hot food, hot turkey coming out of the oven, steaming hot. And let's suppose we wait 3 hours, right? And we wouldn't eat it for 3 hours. And by then it's cold, right? Let's suppose we wait for 3 days. Ugh, it starts to stink. And if we wait 3 weeks, it becomes a health hazard. That, in some ways, is a picture of our future. Wow, that's kind of bleak, isn't it? But life keeps changing. Life is a desert. Here on earth, life is it's the land of the dying. But this, I'd like to make at least 4 points. Number one is life is a wilderness. Number two, but there is a rock in the wilderness. And all of us, in order for us to sustain life, must be drawn to that rock. Moses referred to God as a rock in Deuteronomy 32 in verse 4. I think I'll read the first four verses at least. Listen, O heavens, I will speak. Hear, O earth, the words that I say. Let my teaching fall on you like rain. This is actually the song of Moses. I don't know the tune, or I'd sing it maybe, but this is the song of Moses. Listen, O heavens, and I will speak. Hear, O earth, the words that I say. Let my teaching fall on you like rain, and let my speech settle like dew. Let my words fall like rain on tender grass. Let gentle showers on young plants. I will proclaim the name of the Lord. How glorious is our God. He is the rock. His deeds are perfect. Everything he does is just and fair. He is faithful God who does no wrong. How just and upright is he. Can you imagine singing this song? And in praise and adoration, we say the things, we proclaim them. But this is one of the first places I believe that God is referred to as a rock. I may be wrong on exactly the first, but this is where Moses referred to God as a rock. And we also know that in verse 7 of Psalm 81, it says, in distress you called, and I delivered you. I answered you in the secret place of thunder, and I tested you at the waters of Meribah. And we know that story is where Moses struck the rock. And in Psalm 78, verse 15, it says, he split rocks, so it might have been plural, in the wilderness, and gave them drink abundantly as from the deep. So in the fact that we are life as a wilderness, let's not forget there is a rock in the wilderness, and that rock is Jesus. In the wilderness is the place where we meet God often. Moses met God in the wilderness, the burning bush. Jesus went to wilderness to pray. Number three, there's honey in the rock. How do we receive that honey? I referred to verse 8 where it says, hear, O my people, I will testify unto thee, O Israel, if thou wilt hearken unto me. If we hear. If you would but listen to me. So there's three things we need to do in order to receive this honey. One of them is rejoice, and we alluded to that in verses 1 to 3. Sing aloud to the God of our strength. Shout for joy. Raise a song. Blow the trumpet. Rejoice. Be thankful. And then he says, the second one is, listen to my voice. How do we listen to the voice of God? How do you listen to the voice of God today in this world? Sometimes I think we would do well to go to the wilderness and listen to God, read his word, find a quiet spot. There's a lot of interference. And even as I study Sometimes there's interruptions. I'm in my office. I use my computer with concordances and research. And sometimes you get distracted. You ever get distracted? How many of you ever get distracted praying? I think we all probably do. We're praying and all of a sudden we think of, oh yeah, I forgot to take out the trash. No, or whatever, but we're just, that's how we are, aren't we? It's hard for us to stay focused. But in the wilderness, and as I thought of that, I thought, what if I would go out into the wilderness with no electronic gadgets and just spend time alone in prayer with God? And we would probably benefit from that. And so I'm talking to myself. Turn off the noise. Turn off the things that hinder us from listening to the voice. Read the word. Hear his voice, his word. Meditate on it. And then obey. Walk in my ways, verse 13 says. Oh, that my people had hearkened unto me, and Israel had walked in my ways. This is God talking. Oh, that my people had hearkened unto me, and Israel had walked in my ways. This is the thing. If they had, and if you think about it, and just the whole thing of, had they listened to Joshua and Caleb, the 40 years would have maybe not happened, right? But there's a purpose for us, even as I think of that. It's a demonstration of what life is really like outside of the grace of God, outside of that rock. The honey in the rock. What is honey? What do you think of when you think of the honey in the rock? Besides the Lewis family singing it. It's what? Life-sustaining.
Just now you mentioned grace. I thought maybe grace could lighten the honey.
I think you're right. Anyone else?
Sweetness.
I actually was going to... I went to a couple different stores to find these little candies that say bit of honey. And I was going to bring them today. And... it's not that I'm old or anything. I had COVID, so I forgot them. But maybe I'll bring them next Sunday. But isn't, if you think about honey, isn't it the extravagance of God? The cherry on top. Maybe you don't like cherries, but it's like the sweetness. The Bible refers to the Word of God as sweeter than honey. I think the last place that honey is mentioned is in Revelation chapter 10, where God commanded John to eat the scroll, and something about it was going to be bitter in his stomach, and then it would turn to honey or vice versa. But it's like there's something about honey that just kind of, when you're drinking tea, I don't know how you guys are. You like it straight, or you? I just like a lot of honey in there, because that gives it good flavor, right? But it's like in our day, maybe it'd be like some kind of a premium chocolate, just that smooth. But it's the extravagant provision of God, isn't it? And that's our God. It's like, okay, honey coming from a rock, is that normal? But isn't it amazing how that God can produce some of the sweetest things from the most unthought of places? But God is that rock. Jesus is the rock. And that is where we're going to find satisfaction. Number three, self-examination. Verse 9 talks about there shall be no strange gods. There shall no strange God be in thee. How can a God be in thee? I thought that was an interesting phrase. But there shall no strange God be in thee. I don't know if I ever noticed that before until actually right now. And it's like, God, the Almighty God, dwells within us. And so, it is important that there is no other God in me that is going to try to take the place of the real thing, because it will not satisfy. It's not going to satisfy. And we know that as we look at these, and also the thing of self-examination, we fail. And sometimes we need to ask for forgiveness. I know that. Just recently, again, I had to ask my wife for forgiveness. And just the graciousness of her extending forgiveness to me was just a small picture of what God does for us. So we have the wilderness. We have the rock in the wilderness. We have honey in the rock. And the last point is this, number four. God sent his son to pass the test in the wilderness for us. Jesus spent 40 days in the wilderness, and he was tempted. There was no physical life-sustaining thing in the wilderness. And yet, Satan used those types of things to tempt Jesus. And he remained steadfast. He remained perfect. He passed the test. So, he was not only an example, but he was also our substitute. The children of Israel failed the test, didn't they? They did not reach the promised land, the ones that were wandering around for 40 years in the wilderness. They did not enter into the promised land. We fail. And we will not enter into the promised land outside of Jesus the Rock. He took our place. He took the rod when we failed the test. Romans 5:8 says this, "But God showed his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners." And I know that verse was quoted Sunday night. How much love God has for all of us. We live in a desert. That could be depressing. But man, are we blessed. Because we have the rock. We have Jesus. And there's honey in the rock. Hallelujah. And I like the way that he ends with, the only thing I don't like is that the way it says in verse 16, he says, he should have fed them also with the finest of wheat and with honey out of the rock. Should I have satisfied thee? And my prayer is that God does feed us with the finest of wheat and with the honey in the rock. That it doesn't say he should have, but that he says he did. He did. He fed it to Elnora. He fed it to Sam and Esther. And they were what? Satisfied. What else in this world satisfies us? There are periods in life when we feel pretty satisfied with where we're at. But man, are there ever a lot of disappointments as well. And we can all testify to that. But I'll tell you something that does not change. And that is the rock, Jesus. When I need a shelter, when I need a friend, I go to the rock. 2 Corinthians 3:18 says, "But we all with unveiled face, beholding as it were, as in a mirror, the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as the Spirit of the Lord." And I trust that's our experience. We are being transformed. And in other words, we're being reborn into something that we were not. Completely reborn and made fresh and made new. And God is my rock. 2 Samuel 22:2-3 says this, "The Lord is my rock, my fortress, and my deliverer. My God is my rock, in whom I take refuge. My shield and the horn of my salvation. He is my stronghold, my refuge, and my Savior." Wow. My rock is my Savior. In 1 Corinthians 10:4, it says this, and did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. Verse 10 of Psalm 81 says this, "I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt." And Egypt is, of course, a symbol of the captivity of sin. I brought you out of sin. And then he says this, "Open your mouth wide and I will fill it." We have a choice. We need to open our mouth wide. And I'm not talking about spiritual food. I'm talking about not about physical food, because I know y'all are getting hungry. But I know we need to have our mouth open for spiritual food to be fed, to sustain. It doesn't matter who's president. God is God. That's not going to change. Place your hope in the rock, in Jesus. He will satisfy you. Let's pray. God, I thank you so much for your amazing grace that saves us. Thank you for the rock, Jesus, that you sent to take my place, to take our beating, as it were. And we know that Moses didn't enter the promised land because he violated the symbolicness of you being struck once. Thank you for the fact that you are God, you are just, you are holy, you are righteous, and you fail not. And our life depends on you, both physically and spiritually. And God, so we lift everyone that is gathered here and those who are listening this morning to you in the name of Jesus. Thank you for interceding for us, for praying for us. We need your help. We need your guidance. We need your discernment to take us through. And we know that if we are faithful, we will be with you forever. We ask, God, that you would be honored and glorified today. Thank you for all those who are gathered here. And I pray a blessing on each one. And we ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen. I'd like to just briefly open it up. Anybody wants to share anything?